You're listening to Remarkable Palate on the Culinary Media Network, the world's first all-food podcast network. Find us at culinarymedianetwork.com.
Remarkable Palate number 208, the original Hawaiian chocolate factory. Welcome to The Remarkable Palate. I'm your host, Chef Mark Tafoya. I'm a personal chef in New York City and also executive producer of the Culinary Media Network at www.culinarymedianetwork.com. On the program, we celebrate food by exploring the culinary scene of New York City and the world, speaking with chefs, purveyors, farmers, and others who are passionate about what they eat. We travel the planet in search of the unique tastes and dishes that make each place special. You'll recall that I recently visited Hawaii on the So Much More Hawaii New Media Tour. And while on the Big Island, I had the pleasure of meeting Bob and Pam Cooper, owners of the original Hawaiian Chocolate Factory, the only operation in the United States to grow, ferment, process, and sell chocolate of their own. Bob and Pam took a break from winnowing to talk to me about the process and about how they moved from North Carolina to the Big Island to become chocolate entrepreneurs. I am at the original Hawaiian Chocolate Factory, which is the only chocolate factory where they grow, process, and make chocolate in the United States. And I'm with Bob and Pam Cooper, who own and run this this facility. And it's really great. Thank you for welcoming me here.
Certainly, sure. It was a pleasure to have
Glad
you.
Glad to have you.
Yeah. So you've been hard at work, Bob, here. You're covered in the cocoa dust because you've been winnowing, which is part of the process of producing chocolate. Most of us know chocolate as candy, as chocolate bars, as little sweets. But chocolate is the fruit of a tree, and it goes through a real interesting process to get to that point. And you do it all right here in Kona.
That's correct. We grow and process it here.
First of all, you guys are from North Carolina, so what brought you to Hawaii to make chocolate?
We took a leap of faith to come to Hawaii. Had no intentions of getting the chocolate business, but we bought a farm that Dr. Hodges had developed, and the cocoa trees were here. So we had the trees, we had the beans. We could either eat them, throw them away, or make chocolate out of them.
Yeah.
So we decided to make chocolate out of them.
And people like chocolate.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, a lot of people eat chocolate.
Yeah. And so, Pam, you've been sort of giving us the process and giving us a sort of a tour of how it works while Bob's been hard at work winnowing. And so we've seen up in the trees, we've seen the pods. There are different colors of pods, and we saw some that are purple, and it seems to the first view that, oh, the purple, that must be ripe. But some of them are not ripe.
That's correct.
And we learned, Fernando told us a little trick. You scratch it, and when it's green underneath, it's not ready.
That's correct. And
but when it's yellow underneath, it is.
That's correct.
Okay. And so then you cut open the pods, you take out all these beautiful seeds which are covered with a film, and then it's a slow process of fermenting and drying.
Right, that's correct. It's from the flower on the tree until the finished chocolate product is about a year.
Okay, wow, and that's a process of patience. And as we saw, you go in and one by one, you look and you find pods that are ready one by one. It's not like you shake the tree and they all fall down and they're ready.
No, they harvest every 2 weeks year round, and it's like an Easter egg hunt out there trying to find the pods in the tops of the trees, and they have a long sickle that they cut the pods from the tops of the trees. They're sometimes 25, 30 feet.
Yeah. So out back, you've got some boxes, some wooden boxes, and they're covered, and there's a burlap sack in them. That's the fermenting.
That's the fermenting process, yeah.
Why do you have to ferment them?
Well, what happens is Mother Nature puts the flavor in the bean, but it's sitting on its laurels inside that bean. What we do is steward a technique where Mother Nature will go in that bean, tap it on the shoulder, say, off your laurels, let's go for the gusto.
Wow.
And that is considered fermenting.
Okay.
We stimulate, we incite, we set it free, present it to the universe, and the agent that develops the flavor is the natural sunshine. So in fermenting, what we're doing is inciting the flavor.
So many of our wonderful foods are the result of fermentation.
Oh, yes.
We have wines, and we have vinegar, and we have cheeses that have a fermentation process sometimes, and yeast. And yeah. Things like that. So the chocolate as well. So once it's fermented, then you dry it, and you've got these tables with that are
up above the ground. Right. They're laid out in the sun, and you rake them, right? You just sort of move them back and forth as they slowly dry.
Yes, you distribute them so that they're evenly dried.
And you were saying that you have to get down to a certain percentage of moisture.
7% moisture before they can be stored properly.
And that's to prevent them from going rancid?
Mm-hmm. And to getting mold, that you can't make beans with moldy chocolate.
How long does that process take to get it down to 7%?
I have to yield to Bob.
22 to 28 days.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it depends on how humid the air is. And
well, they have to have consistently sunshine for 22 days. And we know from experience, if they've experienced consistent sunshine for 22 days, we're approaching the 7%. But we verify that with moisture analyzers. And once it's 7%, we burl that bag and store them.
Okay. And so, Pam, you were saying that part of the process is... It was a surprise to you, and it actually improved the quality. Why is that?
Yes, before we were able to build the facility to process it into chocolate, we had to store our beans with the anticipation of being to actually make the chocolate. And then we found that the actual extra storage allowed the chocolate to continue to develop flavor.
Mm-hmm. And is there something along the way that can mess with the process? Like, is this a delicate thing, or can you make sure that your beans don't get messed up?
Well, fermentation is very important. The forest ale to be fermented approximately 6 to 8 days. And if it's over-fermented, under-fermented, it can affect the flavor as far as launching the flavor. Drying's the same way. You have to have a minimum of 22 days down to the 7%. And if it's stored at 7% or higher, or excuse me, 8% or higher, then that can invite mold to invade the test of the bean. And mold is the enemy. It will kill the flavor.
Yeah.
Outside of that, that's basically... Now, we buy our beans wet from our growers because we don't have the qualified buyers to go out and buy the quality and quantity of beans we need. So we have to control the fermenting and the drying for the integrity of the chocolate. Yeah. And it's unheard of in the industry because the industry only buys dried beans. We buy the wet beans right out of the pod.
How many growers are you buying from?
Approximately 60 to 65 growers now.
And are they all over the Hawaiian Islands or just on the Big Island?
Basically on the Big Island. We do have a couple on Molokai. We have a couple on Oahu and several on the island of Kauai. Logistically, it's difficult to get the beans, you know, over water to us. So the way the industry can really grow, if there's another boutique integrated processing plant on the other islands, that will give each island the incentive to grow and have a market for which they can sell the beans.
Yeah. So I think that's really great that you're sort of taking the entire process and taking it under your wing and making sure you control it all. I think, as you mentioned, most chocolate is just, you know, you buy even just the nibs, you know, the roasted finished product, and then you make that into chocolate. Or sometimes you even just buy the pieces of processed chocolate and you make your fancy stuff. So the more you can be involved in the process, the more control you have over the final taste.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
And are you selling your chocolate in the form of candy bars?
We sell our chocolate in the form of 3-ounce bars. We have a new little 1-ounce plumeria bar, pound bars, and now we're also selling the nib.
Okay. Yeah, people are starting to get that cocoa nibs are a tasty and also a healthy treat. Talk about what are the health benefits of chocolate?
Well, chocolate, the meat of the chocolate is called nib. And in that nib, there are polyphenols, which are the antioxidant, phenolic acid, flavonoids. Can help fight free radicals of the body in certain cancer conditions, can help prevent heart disease, can lower cholesterol and reduce blood pressure. So, and that's just four of the many, many medicinal qualities dark chocolate has. Very strong stimulant in chocolate called theobromine.
Yeah, that's what makes you fall in love, right?
Yeah. The downside of theobromine is that certain body chemists can't tolerate it. It can induce migraine headaches. But the upside is, does incite the libido. That's why gentlemen give chocolate ladies on Valentine's.
Okay, all right. So any sense that, I'm just going to eat chocolate, I'm going to be healthy. Well, you can't really eat just milk chocolate candy bars and be healthy. It's the, you know, what's in the nibs. It's as you say, those components.
Right. And dark chocolate over milk, because once milk is added to milk chocolate to categorically make it milk chocolate, milk will serve as an inhibitor to the free expression of those antioxidants. That's why dark chocolate is deemed very healthy to eat.
Plus, it's just more chocolatey to me.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Well, thank you so much for spending a little bit of time explaining what you all do. And I just think it's so special that you're the only ones that are doing all of this, and it must be a labor of love.
All right. We're the only entity of its kind in an industrialized nation that grows as well as process.
Most industrialized nations simply buy the finished beans.
Yeah. Industry actually no longer grows. They have buyers that go out there on a contract with growers throughout the world to do the fermenting, the drying, and the actual cultivating of the cacao. But we're the only ones that actually do it.
Yeah. So if you are eating the original Hawaiian chocolate, you don't have to worry about fair trade, right? Because it's all done in one house, and y'all are the owners, you're the workers. So there's no worry that the chocolate was picked by a child or someone that's paid pennies an hour.
Sometimes we say we're really not slave-free because there are two slaves, myself and my wife.
Everyone who has their own business and who has a labor of love, they know that feeling. But at the end of the day, it's worth it, isn't it?
And we always said, if you own your own business, you can pick the 100 hours a week you want to work.
And only those. Well, thank you both. And
so
how can people find more about it? Do you have a website?
We do have a website. We have a new website, as a matter of fact. It's www.ohcf.us.
Okay, there you go. OHCF, Original Hawaii Chocolate Factory. Thank you both.
You're so welcome.
As Bob and Pam said, when you own your own business, it really is a labor of love. But it can at times be hard going. This has been a trying time for me here at the Remarkable Palate. Due to the economy, of course, personal chef business has been down. And it sometimes feels like things aren't going to get better. But as you know, it's been a real point of pride for me to put out this show every single Wednesday, come rain or come shine. And I've done it for 4 years now on every single Wednesday. And I'm hoping that you're enjoying it. So please let me know. If the show's still doing it for you, I hope so. And if not, please let me know what you'd like to hear more of. You can reach me via email at remarkablepalate@gmail.com or on Twitter as Chef Mark. So I hope to hear from you. Until next time, stay hungry.